Peace be with you. This is Voice of the Shepherd, a 10-minute message brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church in the town of Easton. I'm Pastor Stephen Jurdy. This past week, I spoke with you about some of the core practices of Christian devotion as we find them described in Holy Scripture. I listed five of them: fasting, prayer, charity, worshiping with others, and a life of good works or love. For the next few weeks, I'm going to speak with you more specifically about each of those core practices, unpacking them one by one so that you may feel more equipped to take up those practices and let their blessings fill your life and the lives of those around you. So this week, we begin with the practice of fasting. In order to understand fasting best, let's begin at the very beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, we're told that God created the world in a particular order. First, he created light, and then he created water and the life-giving atmosphere of earth and the dry land. From these basic components, light, water, air, and soil, you can see that God is laying a foundation for all of life. And at the heart of life, as God creates it, is the great joy of eating and feasting. We need light, water, and soil, and good air to grow good food. As God says in Genesis chapter 1, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. Later, he would also give the joy of eating meat to Noah. And in the New Testament, we read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, that God created all food to be received with thanksgiving and to be enjoyed. Indeed, when the prophets preached about God's ultimate salvation of the world, they would often describe it in terms of a feast, as we read in Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord will provide a feast for every nation, a feast of rich food and well-aged wine, a rich food full of fat. Or as we read in the book of Revelation, the new creation will contain a life-giving fruit tree that will yield a fresh crop of fruit every month. And our Lord Jesus Christ himself, on the night in which he was betrayed, promised to give himself as holy food in the gift of Holy Communion. Take, eat, this is my body, given for you. What all these passages together tell us is this: food is not a problem. Food is good. God wants you to enjoy food, to eat what he has made, and to give him thanks for it. Indeed, God created you to desire good food and to feast on it. But while food and eating are not a problem, there is another problem that we do have, and that is the problem of how we direct our desire. Remember that the very first sin of humankind, the sin of Eve and Adam, was a sin of eating the wrong fruit. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, God said, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God created Adam and Eve to enjoy and desire the good, but instead, they desired what they should not desire and turned towards evil. Ever since, mankind has suffered by desiring the wrong things. Here is the first reason why Christians take up the task of fasting: by letting ourselves experience hunger. That is, by letting ourselves experience desire and not satisfy it. We are letting our repentance for sin become more than a merely mental exercise. We are feeling repentance in our flesh. We are saying to ourselves, you will not have everything that you desire because you don't always desire the right things. We're letting our bodies get used to not having what they always want. This first reason for fasting prepares us to see and appreciate several blessings related to fasting. First, it helps us to appreciate all the more when we do eat, and to be more thankful. That is, it teaches us to desire our food with more thanksgiving to God. but it also blesses us by freeing us. How does it free us? Fasting helps free us by preparing our body to be happier with less. By teaching our body to be happier with less, we are freed from always running after the first thing or the next thing that we may desire in the conviction that we have to have it. Instead, it prepares us to be more thoughtful in what we desire and more willing to wait. And that willingness to wait brings us to the second reason for fasting. It prepares us to endure suffering. St. Paul writes a few times about how he has suffered hunger for the gospel. He writes in 2 Corinthians 11, "I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food." Suffering for the Christian faith is a reality that has followed the church wherever it has gone. By letting ourselves suffer a little bit in a controlled way, that is, by letting ourselves experience a little hunger, yet still live and function and be joyful in the midst of that hunger, we are strengthening ourselves to endure even greater sufferings in peace. As we sing in the hymn, "Jesus, Still Lead On," when we seek relief from a long-felt grief, when temptations come alluring, make us patient and enduring, till we see that shore where we weep no more. This fasting could even make us better neighbors and friends, because if we are desiring less and if we are more enduring, then we are friends who will demand less and be more loyal, more willing to suffer with those around us, and less apt to only look at people in terms of what they will provide for us. Finally, in closing, I offer a little practical advice on fasting. As I said earlier, food is not the problem. Eating is not a problem. Food is a gift and should be enjoyed. So when it comes to fasting, the main thing is this: don't do it too much or too extremely. Simply choose perhaps one day a week. Traditionally, Christians have chosen Friday, or perhaps Saturday evening and Sunday morning, to eat less. Maybe you go without a meal. Maybe you just have soup, or you go without meat, or you forego a large meal and eat just a few small ones. And then, as you let yourself experience hunger, pay attention to it. Take time to pray through your hunger. Read Scripture. Feast on the Word of God rather than on food. For as our Lord says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Christians only fast in order to feast. And what a feast God has prepared for you. And that's this week's Voice of the Shepherd, brought to you by Bethany Lutheran Church on Church Road in the town of Easton, a congregation of the LCMC, or Lutheran Congregations in Mission for Christ. Bethany is worshiping in person on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. And you may also visit Bethany on Facebook, where we have several live-streamed and recorded events for you to enjoy. Next week, we will speak about prayer. How does our Lord teach us to pray? And how does prayer fill our life with blessing? A woman once said to me, "I could hear people talk about prayer several hours a day. I enjoy that topic so much." I hope it will be a blessing for you as well. Until then, may God bless you and give you joy in His presence.